You're listening to Fuller Curated, a podcast of the best conversations happening at Fuller.
My name is Brad Strawn, and I'm the Evelyn and Frank Fried Professor of the Integration of Psychology and Theology at Fuller Theological Seminary. Welcome to Fuller Studio.
Everyone. First, I'm honored to stand behind this podium, behind so many other amazing speakers this week. This symposium has been transformational for me, and I'm sure it has been for you all as well. Dr. Brian Davis, as a Black woman psychologist in training, you will never know what it means to me to see you be up here doing what you do, giving me permission to do what I do. So thank you. The title of my talk today is The Black Superwoman in Rest as Resistance. Yes. Okay, the formatting might be off, but we're going to move through it. Okay. So Dr. Brian Davis talked about the importance of decolonizing psychology. When we think about colonization, we think about someone coming in and establishing control over people, things, and land that do not belong to them. And that's precisely what happened during North American chattel slavery. And as a result of that, the way that we see Black people and Black people see themselves has been radically changed. Stereotypes arose out of colonization, such as the Jezebel, the over-sexualized Black woman that exists for the sexual pleasure of men. The mammy, who is the content helper who serves white families with pleasure. The sassy sapphire, also known as the angry Black woman, who emasculates men. The welfare queen, who is seen as the breeder of Black babies, who's fully content to live off of government assistance. And one that you all are probably very familiar with, which is a strong Black woman, also known as the Black Superwoman, who can do all for all people at all times in all ways, and she does it with grace. And this stereotype has been so deeply embedded into the context and the communities of Black people that we carry it as a badge of honor in many ways. And when we do that, we don't see that it is, in fact, a stereotype. So research indicates that there are five characteristics of the Black Superwoman. One is the perceived obligation to present as strong or to manifest strength. The perceived obligation to suppress her emotions, particularly emotions that may convey weakness. The perceived obligation to resist vulnerability or asking for help, which impacts how Black women operate in interpersonal relationships. The perceived obligation to succeed despite having limited resources, that is making a dollar out of 15 cents. And the perceived obligation to prioritize the caregiving of others and thus deprioritizing the caregiving of herself. As I mentioned before, these stereotypes of Black women arose out of slavery. And the Black Superwoman did as well. When we see Black women as mules and as bodies, it serves as justification for their enslavement, for them to be property. It likens them on the same level in terms of strength as Black men, which further allows us to not see them in their womanhood, and further creates separation between Black women and white women who were revered for their delicacy and femininity, and Black women have not been afforded that same right. The Black Superwoman gets passed down generationally through the modeled behavior of our foremothers, our mamas, our grandmamas, our aunties, our play aunties. We see how they operate, how they deal with conflict, how they deal with tragedies in life, and we model it. We take on this inheritance, and we don't question it. but it impacts how we show up in the world. And certainly in the media, Black women are often portrayed one-dimensionally, which impacts further how they are seen in society and how they view themselves. So there are consequences to this. When we have persistent expectations of strength for Black women, that leads to stress. Black women have among the highest rates of stress-related illness and disease. We're talking about high blood pressure, cardiovascular disease, and then these sort of like by proxy diseases of diabetes, which has been linked to binge eating, which is used as a coping strategy for Black women. Black women are dying much earlier than their white counterparts. And that's just the physical health disparities. There are psychological health disparities as well. Black women seek psychological help services at about half the rate of their white counterparts. There's a reason for that. Black women report that they have more emotional distress. When we think about emotional distress, we're talking about depression and anxiety, even if we're not calling it that, even if it doesn't show up the same way for Black women as it does textbook-wise. Let's keep our eyes open and recognize the signs that Black women are suffering and struggling in some ways. Black women report that they have less perceived emotional support as well, which impacts their psychological well-being. Now, there are protective factors or benefits of embodying the Black superwoman identity. Black women are empowered to counteract these other more negative stereotypes that exist about who they are. Black women report that when they embody this identity of being a strong Black woman or a Black superwoman, they feel resilient. They feel self-efficacious, confident, independent, strong. They take pride in their identity. We see Black women a different way. We just do, and it impacts the way that they see themselves. Black women taking on this superwoman or superhuman identity has preserved the Black family as it's been dismantled through enslavement and through the mass incarceration of Black males. Without Black women, where would the Black community be? Black women step in as official and unofficial mentors. They serve at their churches. And it's so important for us to recognize the important role that they play. Additionally, another protective factor is that Black women that take on this Black superwoman identity report that their relationship with God is central to their being. As they are constantly pouring out, as Dr. Bryant Davis said, they need something to pour back into them. And their relationship with God can serve to mitigate some of the physical and psychological impacts that they experience. So why is all of this important? It's important for us to understand the unique needs of Black women so we can really see them given their socio-historical context. Without this understanding, we are easily swayed to believe that strength is simply a character trait of Black women instead of a necessary response to life at the intersection of racism, sexism, and trauma in Black women's fight for survival. So, the way forward, I love this quote here. It says, instead of strength being manifested through workaholism, self-silencing, self-sacrifice, or excessive caregiving, we promote an awareness and cultivation of inner strength that is grounded in wellness, wholeness, and self-defined authenticity. As Dr. Tamar Bryant Davis talked about, a woman is psychology. It centralizes self-definition, so not definitions by stereotypes that have been deeply embodied in our being. It centralizes self-empowerment and critical awareness of systems that contribute to how we see Black women and how they see themselves. Womanist psychology centralizes spirituality, community, and healing. And so when we can work with Black women from that perspective, we have to question traditional theory and application of theory. We have to do it differently. We recognize in the room and we give voice to societal pressures that have influenced the ways that Black women show up in the world. We call that out and we speak the truth. And when we do that, we can talk about rest and realize how radical it is to ask a Black woman to rest. I have personally been in therapy, and my therapist told me, you just need to go to the movies. Just do self-care. What, girl? But when we offer rest as a form of resistance to systems that reinforce the notion that Black women simply exist to exhaust themselves, we honor the well-being of the person sitting across from us. And we don't just do that in the therapy room. We do that as teachers, as preachers, and as neighbors. All of us have a part to play in that. And so in closing, recognizing that rest is a form of resistance. And as Dr. Brian Davis said, it is a revolutionary and radical act for women to be still. One, we give voice to that. And also we make it so that it's not so radical anymore. We normalize rest for Black women. We encourage rest for Black women. We shift the way that Black women have been defined and how we see them. They aren't just worker bees for our pleasure and for our benefit. We empower Black women to thrive and to cultivate joy, purpose, and freedom in Jesus' name.
You have been listening to a production of Fuller Studio. Fuller Studio provides articles, podcasts, videos, and other resources for a deeply formed spiritual life. Subscribe on your favorite podcast app or visit us at fuller.edu/studio.